everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC. Creative Learning Concepts serves as an adjunct to the school systems, offering resources and assistance to students who fall behind academically, socially, or behaviorally. Each show, we talk about how Creative Learning Concepts can help young people achieve their full potential through assistance in testing, tutoring, counseling, behavior analysis and modification, and with special needs assistance. Creative Learning Concepts works in a one-on-one, highly customized environment, which helps build confidence and self-esteem. Their goal is to keep children engaged in their social and academic world and to have them enjoy the process of learning. We're here talking to Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, who is joined by Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We'll be right back on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, as well as Siobhan Cronin. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, I know that you're well known and famous for treating children here and handling all kinds of challenges that students face, but I happened to come across a really informative article in the October issue of Neighborhood Scene about ADHD. We've talked about ADHD a lot, ADD, ADHD, and we've discussed it on many different programs and how you deal with the children that come here for treatment. This particular article was about a parent who discovered as an adult when she got her daughter examined and diagnosed that she found out that she bought a book and read about all the some of the things that a person would have with ADHD, and found out that she and herself had attention deficit disorder. And I know that you see adults here, so would you like to talk to our listeners a little bit about adults with ADHD?
Yes, Anne-Marie. Unfortunately, adults are the ones who are often forgotten, and it makes me really sad because I have to accentuate the fact that we see a lot of adults at Creative Learning Concepts, and adults, I think, they kind of shrivel up. Oh, I don't want to call. Maybe it'll just go away. I don't care. So I have this symptom. I'll work on it myself. And they just don't want to call. But you have to call. The older you get, the more difficult it is to design a program that will help you get through this difficult period of time in your life. So please, adults, parents, whoever you are out there who has problems or have problems with either ADHD, dyslexia, and you're an adult and you haven't been diagnosed, call us at 844-4-POPPER, or you can drop me a note on the website at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. I will answer you quickly. I always do, since I wear a lot of hats around here. as I was saying in the beginning, adults are often forgotten because for the past 20 years, we've been talking about children and the wild children and the children you can't control and this one who bounces off the walls before they go to bed and who can't sit still in school and who's flicking a pencil and snapping his fingers and waving his hands and looking under the table and tapping his feet, all kinds of things that a lot of adults do when they're at work. You know, they're tapping the pencil on the table and they're flinging their hair and they're tapping their legs and they're shaking their knees and they're not finishing their work. It's the same thing that kids do. But it's different. It's often diagnosed in adulthood when it wasn't diagnosed when these people were children. And we have to keep in mind that body chemistry changes and chemistry in the brain changes every 7 years. And when you were fine 7 years ago, now you don't have enough dopamine in your brain and you're bouncing off the walls. And with adults especially, they get depressed and they don't know. And they get anxious. I have to say anxiety is a huge, huge component of this. And they often get diagnosed with anxiety and depression when it's the ADHD that they're not diagnosed with or not seen for or even questioned about that's causing the anxiety and the depression. So they have to be savvy enough and read enough to be able to say to themselves, maybe I have ADD. Maybe I need to go to a neuropsychologist or a psychologist who specializes in this, because my God, I would go crazy if I had something like that and I didn't know what to do. So getting the diagnosis and getting the proper diagnosis is the first thing you have to do. And with adults, you know, let's start at work. You are seen as lazy if you leave a job, or you're not doing your work quick enough, or you're walking around a lot and taking breaks because you cannot keep a thought in your head long enough to finish what you have to do. So you're seen as lazy instead of somebody coming up with you and saying, is something wrong? Do you need some help?
I think that you're probably right. I just wonder how many adults make the connection. Is that a circuitous journey getting to the diagnosis? Because I don't think most adults who, you know, perceive themselves as not being able to keep up with their work or maybe are seen as lethargic would necessarily connect the dots and think, well, maybe I have ADHD. What do you think?
I think many adults would think that they were ignorant or they were incapable of doing the work, and it doesn't dawn on them that maybe there's something that's actually wrong that they could get help for and then do their job well and feel better about themselves. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm particularly interested in how they would get to actually seeking help. And, you know, they may see themselves as failing or not functioning as well as they need to be functioning, but I'm just wondering how they, you know, take it to the next step to get diagnosed. And we're gonna have to take a break right now. We don't have enough time to answer that question, but we'll answer in the next segment. So we're going to go to a quick break, and in the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, as well as Siobhan Cronin, talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Now, we've been talking so far on the show not necessarily about children in school, but about adult ADHD and how interesting it is that there are probably a lot of adults out there that have been suffering from this for a long time and have just thought that they, you know, it's normal to get distracted. They lose their keys, they misplace things, they're behind, they are late for a lot of things, and this general sort of disorganization that they learn to cope with and live with. I don't think that they're understanding or connecting the dots to come up with the fact that, yes, there may be a real diagnosis for this. And, you know, as I said, I mentioned in the last segment that the article in the October issue of Neighborhood Scene, very well-written article about a lady who was diagnosed because her daughter was diagnosed with ADHD. She bought a book, and when she read the book, she started recognizing things in herself and then went to be diagnosed. And I know we asked you this in the last segment about this reticence to actually seek out a diagnosis. So just so that we understand this, Lisa, are adults supposed to sort of self-diagnose and think about the fact that all of these symptoms that they're having or these ways of behaving are part of the ADHD spectrum, and then they need to go to a psychologist and, you know, get a diagnosis there?
Well, first of all, it's important to note that you shouldn't ignore any symptom. But just because you're having a couple symptoms doesn't mean it's ADHD. And you can start with the easiest thing on the planet. You can go online and take a questionnaire if you want privacy and you don't want anybody to know, because a lot of people are embarrassed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Everything's workable as long as you're accepting of the diagnosis. It's not a death wish. It's not anything horrible. It's just a little hiccup. I see things as a little hiccup. And when students and adults come to Creative Learning Concepts, the first thing I want to do is make sure they have self-esteem that's strong enough where they can conquer anything. And I call a lot of things hiccups because they're just that. They're hiccups. It's a hiccup in your brain, a hiccup in your learning. I mean, some hiccups are a lot bigger than others, but as soon as you take the steps towards diagnosis, the sooner you'll be on the right path. So for adults, adults can have the same symptoms as kids, but they show them differently. The first thing you can do to see if you have enough of enough of the checklist that you're questioning, if, let's say, you don't finish something, start something at the last minute, those are top-notch things you have to be concerned about. But in my opinion, as well as other professionals who study ADHD and the other disorders out there, you must have at least 5 to 6 symptoms that are pervasive for more than 6 months, a minimum of 6 months. And insofar as kids are concerned, sometimes it's not ADHD. Parents have to realize that sometimes you just have a spirited kid, and maybe you need to seek out help to parent your child properly, because behavior therapy along with medication might be the best way. And maybe medication is not conducive to helping your child down the right path, because everybody reacts differently to medication, as we all well know. But insofar as adults are concerned, the checklist is one, and making sure you get a proper diagnosis. With ADHD, you often see depression in tandem, anxiety in tandem. You often see sensory issues. You often see hyper-focusing, and especially in things that interest you, in adults and children alike.
And Siobhan, you were on the break. We were talking to you about students that you have and also musicians that you play with and things that you've noticed. We're always talking here about early diagnosis and getting diagnosed for whatever the disorder may be. But obviously, you've mentioned many times about musicians that you work with and play with, that you see things and you question, what is this all about? And the same thing with, you've mentioned you've had a student that you just recently started with. Would you give us a comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking about adults, I feel like I often, question these things in my mind about colleagues and friends that I interact with, because perhaps as an adult, you might think that somebody that's very highly functioning in one regard could not possibly be suffering from something like, a learning difference that might limit them in other regards. So, I mean, I know on many occasions, just, dealing with musicians that are often very good at what they do, sometimes I notice small, social differences, lack of attention to certain cues. And, as a friend or as a colleague, sometimes it's very difficult to figure out how do you address an issue like that with somebody that you know, because maybe in some cases the person themselves is not even self-aware of the fact that they might be dealing with something like this.
Sometimes if it's a good enough friend, you could say, I'm concerned about an issue that's been coming up recently. I've noticed that when I say this, you're reacting this way. Is something bothering you? Are you confused at what I'm saying? Can I clarify something for you? If you take responsibility for their confusion, then you're more than likely going to get a positive reaction, and they will want to seek out help. Probably from you first, then somebody who specializes in that field next. And I have found that when you put yourself first and say, I've been noticing, instead of you did this or you did that, or you're not reacting in this way, you should be doing this, they're going to completely shut down and they're going to be totally uncooperative. The kids do it more so than the adults. The adults many times get overtly aggressive when somebody accuses them of something.
Right, and as someone, you know, in music that is involved in education in some ways, you know, I've noticed even with students, particularly one student that I took on recently, where I would just ask her sort of a series of simple questions, like observational things. You know, take a look at my arm here. What am I doing that's differently to go from one string on the violin to the other? And I found that repeatedly she wasn't completely understanding the question, or she didn't quite know how to answer it. And, you know, when you're dealing with children versus people your own age, then you have to start thinking, okay, how am I going to address this issue? Am I going to try and keep working directly with the child? Do I say something to the parent? You know, and just kind of knowing what sort of signs to look out for and how to address it is really valuable information.
That's right. And like I said before, oftentimes adults and children will have the same symptoms, but they'll show them differently. And I have a lot to say about your situation with your new student, but I don't think we have time. Is that right, Amory? We do? Okay, but it depends on whether or not it was too much information for her to hold in her brain. Maybe it was, but from what you told me before we started the show today, it sounded like you were doing everything right. You were doing things methodically. It depends on whether or not she was forced to do the violin, or she just wasn't understanding, or maybe she has a perfectionist syndrome and she would rather go off in another direction than run the risk of making a mistake and being embarrassed.
Right, and I think a lot of the times, especially with children, you're often dealing with kind of a fine line of how much can I really ask about maybe how they're feeling or something, so that you don't cross the boundary of, you know, parent versus teacher.
Right, you have to be a detective and at the same time be very mindful of, you know, overstepping the boundaries, I would suspect. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. To the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Specifically, we've been talking about ADHD. Lisa, we know that you have been treating children with this disorder for a long time, but also you also have adults who come in for treatment. And in the last segment, you were talking about, you know, various aspects of diagnosis and how it affects adults. And in particular, I want to switch over to women who need to be diagnosed or find out that they may have ADHD because they just accept the fact that they're overly challenged, overly worked. They've got too much to do with families and whatnot. But I do know that one of the things I noticed in this article is that they struggle with executive functioning. And you've talked about executive functioning on the show before. Can you talk a little bit about women and women adults with ADHD and executive functioning?
Yeah, this is a biggie. And I want to say again, please, men and women alike, if you are concerned about the fact that you may have ADHD or a deficit with your executive functioning skills, please call us at 844-4-POPPER or drop us. Travis, I have the funniest people I work with here, and they are making me laugh. But you know what? We have fun at Creative Learning Concepts, and it's all about having fun. Now you guys made me forget my own email address. No, our website. It's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Anyway, executive functioning skills entail a lot. I'll give you a half a dozen of them. Being able to follow directions, remembering information, organizing your day, organizing time management, things like that, just everyday things that keep you organized, and organizing and finishing tasks. Yes, you can get very overwhelmed by having a job, taking the kids to school, cooking dinner. You can share tasks with the other people in your family. Number one, that's the easiest thing. Make lists. And women, I think, have this idea that they have to do everything. They can do everything. They're super women. They have full-time jobs. They take their kids and pick them up from school. They're wives, they're mothers. They're the queen of the household. But it's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming, and it can really get to you. So for those who have executive functioning deficits, make lists, prioritize, color code. You may have to do this for the rest of your time on this earth, but if it helps you, if it helps you be more comfortable in your skin, and it helps you finish things, and it saves you from doing things at the last minute, then do it. And I have to say, too, that women have not been focused on. It's the kids, the wild children who needed help the most for the last 20 years have been the area of focus. And now women are suffering at work, are suffering at home, and they need to be diagnosed. And when you become overwhelmed, what happens? You either get anxiety or you get depression. So get diagnosed.
So being overwhelmed, sometimes that can be a red flag. I noticed in this article they talk about this one specific case where this woman felt as though she couldn't do simple things, couldn't follow through with tasks, couldn't finish jobs, couldn't keep up with things, was always late, couldn't finish projects, and so on and so forth. And that she always felt, you know, diminished, ashamed, just generally felt that she just didn't have the coping skills to keep up. It didn't say that that she thought or examined herself and said, well, I have a diagnosable and treatable disorder here. So again, we come back to getting in the door to see a specialist. And I know that this is what you do here. This is what you specialize in at Creative Learning Concepts. And once again, you certainly have had hundreds of children that have come in for treatment. And with the women who are needing to be diagnosed and get into what it would be therapy, would they come here to you? Would they call you, and then you would do a diagnosis here, and then what would the treatment regimen be?
Anne-Marie, at Creative Learning Concepts, we have psychologists on staff. They would do an intake, and they would have a questionnaire first and foremost to see if they had 5 to 6 symptoms pervasive for at least 6 months, and then they would make a plan of attack, and treatment would ensue and begin right away.
And I know that we hear a lot, the focus has always been in the general public, I think, on the fact that it's children who have ADHD, and it's the kids you look at, the hyperactive kids, the kids that are starting school and they're out of control, they can't be, you know, reined in by their teachers or by their caregivers, whatever. So there's this jump to quick diagnosis, a much quicker diagnosis. As soon as somebody starts to be a little bit more hyperactive than the ordinary, then there's the natural assumption that this kid has ADHD, which brings up another question of, you know, the huge amount of children that go to their pediatrician and then they just get given medication. Now, with adults who are out there working, they're in the workforce and their parents themselves, and they may recognize if they ever read about ADHD or learn a little bit more about their kid's diagnosis and then decide, well, I may be having the same thing, and then they eventually go to see yourself or a psychologist for diagnosis, but can you let us know if they would be put on medication, or what is the normal plan of action for an adult with ADHD?
It depends on the case. Each case, as in children who have ADHD, each case is different, and the symptoms are presented differently. But if they're severe enough, it may be necessary. If they're the psychologist, or it may be severe enough to go to a neuropsychologist or a psychiatrist who can then prescribe medication or do further neurotesting, because there may be a chemical imbalance as well. So in that case, there would be medication along with a behavioral plan, and if there are any cognitive issues along with behavioral ones, it would encompass everything.
Yes, and I noticed in this article they specifically mentioned that with boys, they are the first ones to be diagnosed because of their hyperactivity and the fidgety behavior. But women or girls are secondary to be diagnosed. Why is that?
It's simple, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face. I think more than half the people diagnosed with ADHD are not ADHD. They are simply stupid. And I think you see more active kids. I just don't like the word hyperactive, but it's being used. So you see more hyperactive boys than you do girls. You see more inattentive girls than boys.
Yes, and with women, it says that they are very compulsive in their behaviors. And again, we're flipping back here to the adult female. Do you notice that in your practice when they come in to see you?
Absolutely. They're compulsive, and they hyper-focus, and they're perfectionists, and they beat themselves to a pulp when things are not perfect.
And one of the other things we read about was that they like to get into shopping as a compulsive behavior. Is that true?
Well, it is compulsive, but you can shop perfectly. It is compulsive behaviors. You know, cleaning, any behavior that you can do compulsively is indicative of that disorder.
Okay, well, that's interesting, and we're going to have to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, as well as Siobhan Cronin. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. And specifically this evening, we have been discussing ADHD, penetration in childhood and also in adults, and the treatment for the disorder. Now, over the break, we were talking to you, Siobhan, about the basic difference between how do you know with other musicians that you play with and with students that you teach, between just hyperactivity and knowing what's normal and what's abnormal and when to pay attention to some of the signs. And you were talking a little bit about what you do when you go into performances as well as what you're doing with your students. How do you handle anxiety and before a performance?
Well, before I go into that, let me just share a little anecdote that actually just occurred to me. I just recently returned from a trip to Mexico, and on one of the days I went to visit an elementary school, and what I noticed is that at the beginning of the day and in the afternoon, they have this thing called the activation, which is the English translation. I can't remember the Spanish word. But basically, they just get all the kids in one room after lunch or, you know, in the morning, and they play a song, and they all make them dance for like 3 or 4 minutes. And it's almost like, you know, comparable to warm up for a workout class or something like that. And that's basically what they found to be effective for keeping the kids focused for the rest of the day. You know, it helps wake them up after they've eaten their lunch or their breakfast, and then it keeps, you know, helps them exhaust some of their energy so that when they get to class, they're ready to just take a deep breath and get going. And, you know, when I think of myself, for example, I, of course, like most musicians will admit to, deal with some performance anxiety depending on the situation. And I've turned to exercise to help me sort of exhaust some of my anxious energy. So, you know, mornings that I have a big performance coming up, I always go for a run. And that's something that I've found to be really effective in helping me, you know, just exhaust myself to a certain degree so that I come out of it being relaxed and focused.
And what about with your students? What about, you know, with the students that you're teaching?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Any, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, physical exertion, just things that help them, you know, keep their energy focused. You know, some kids are a little bit fidgety when they come into lessons, and so I say, okay, let's try and do this, and if we're having some trouble, we'll take a break, we're going to walk around the room in a circle or something, just to sort of reorient the energy to something else. So, you know, just distracting yourself, you know, temporarily from the cause of anxiety perhaps is effective.
That's great, Siobhan. You know what I've found works really well with adults and kids alike, and I think the schools should adopt this policy that, you know, helping kids and adults become more mindful, and especially with ADHD, it's really difficult to center your mind and to calm your mind and to be in the moment. And once you adapt to the practice of meditation, your whole world changes. Let's say you meditate, you start off for a minute, and when you start meditating, thoughts are going to go in and out. Just let them go through, and then you can start your day refreshed. And especially in a tight situation or a stressful situation, it's wonderful to be able to calm your mind like that.
Yeah, that just reminded me, and I wish I could remember the source of it, but I recently found an article where it was either one school or a handful of schools in the district decided to do this experiment where they replaced detention with mindfulness practice and meditation, and they found that it was incredibly effective, that first of all, both, you know, the kids that were going in initially to detention weren't repeated. You know, they went in once, they did their meditation, and then they didn't actually go back. And that actually over the long term, it helped their performance improve significantly. So, you know, it not only prevented them from being sort of repeat offenders of the detention system, but it also helped them to improve their overall performance in the remainder of their classes.
Yeah, and I do remember, while you were talking about that, I do remember seeing something about that on social media, and I thought that was really interesting, that whole concept of, you know, we tend to be maybe too punitive with children in school and, you know, want to categorize them as having something wrong with them, and therefore it's a disciplinary thing. And I thought it was a wonderful idea to just, let's sit down and translate this. Instead of detention, let's do meditation. Unfortunately, I didn't read too much into the rest of the article, but I thought that it was a very good way of coping with what seems to be, you know, an overabundance of fidgetiness or, you know, misbehavior. Lisa, tell us a little bit about the metrics for children diagnosed with ADHD.
There's one for parents as well, but teachers and caregivers alike get the Connor scale, and it's a series of oodles of questions that have a scale from strongly agree, never agree, or things of that nature. But for adults, there are questions like, and you have to think about your home situation, your social situation, and how often you do things. And I'll give you one question. How often do you have trouble wrapping up the fine details of a project once the challenging parts have been done? Things of that nature. And how often do you get fidgety in the middle of a project? Things of that nature.
Well, we'll have to really continue this on another show because it's all been very interesting and very informative. But we're out of time tonight, and that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts LLC, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts, along with Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. For more information, you can contact Lisa Popper at the Popper Institute or by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her on the web at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We're closing tonight's show with the ABC Rap, conceived and co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper Low Fat and violinist Siobhan Cronin.
Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best. Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight up, down, down, you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gon' make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life get hectic, it's all gravy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome like diversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions. Don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too. Now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success. Now let's get it. T is for the truth for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. V is for the victory. It is the sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day. Yeah, through the day.